You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
You know what that means. Back here at the Mark Order Podcast to talk all things All Elite. Joe, grind runner, running from the grind as per usual, as is habit now, older and wiser, and wise enough not to spend his time with us anymore as much, I guess, is Joe. He is out tonight, but we've got Ryan here. We've got me here. Ryan, how you doing?
Everyone just running from the grind. It's really starting to affect my opinion. It's starting to grind my gears.
You know what really grinds my gears?
But I'm good. I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I will say our dear friend Joe did have a pickleball incident that I think counts as karma for not being here tonight. So I don't know if you saw, he posted it. Yeah, he posted it on his Instagram story. It looks like he like skinned his knee or an elbow something. It looked nasty. He's taking bumps out there on the pickleball court, man. That's rough. But we've got a lot to talk about. I'm digging this, like, do we have four matches tonight? They're in this like four match rhythm, and it is working. It is working for AEW, if you ask me. But chat along with us, if you would be so kind. We see all y'all in the chat. We see Scott George. We see Matthew Hooks. We see Fernando. We see Tim McFowl. We see Eric Freed's Hooks. We love you so much. Hang in there, buddy. I know we were talking online a little bit, but you're awesome. And you will find your people, I promise. But we also have Jesse Ozog. Hi, Jesse Ozog. Ryan, don't you want to wave to Jesse Ozog?
Sorry, I'm hunting down Joe's skin knee. Oh, there it is. Ew.
It's pretty gnarly. It doesn't look great.
No.
Kylie's here too. Hi, Kylie. We love you so much. Kylie, I know you had a rough day yesterday too. We're all just doing the best we can. That's what we're doing out here. We're watching wrestling. We're doing the best we can. Some things that would help us out greatly. If you could leave a thumbs up on this video, that helps a great deal. If you aren't subscribed to the Mark Order Podcast, what the are you doing? Subscribe. I don't know why I was pressing about it. Yeah, right now. And if you're listening in audio form, leave us a 5-star review or I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to steal your lunch money. And I'm just going to give you the worst noogie you ever had. That's what's going on. But Ryan, how are things in your world? How's life? How's the go going?
It goes as it goes. Did you see the news from the Pittsburgh game of that fan falling off like the outfield wall? Yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah, I actually can't say everyone's saying he fell, but I saw the video and it kind of looks like he jumped.
But oh my god.
He's in bad shape now. Yeah, he did not
land. Was it Joe?
Well.
Did Joe say it was pickleball, but really he was in Pittsburgh?
Let me tell you, the way this guy fell, if all he ended up with was a scraped knee, he really made out well because
he'd be in good shape, huh?
It was ugly.
Kylie's saying, I wish I could super chat the Mark Order. I am like, I don't know, 6 years behind on things that I want to do for this podcast. But much like if you're over here from the Fightful crew, how we have Humper Chats, there is a platform that we could implement here that I'm like, it's all like in the works that have not, the gears to make those things turn have not been turning. I've been very, very backed up on paid gigs and buried in a good way with some stuff at Fightful, responsibilities that I asked for and was granted and got paid more money for. So the Mark Chats, that's what we'll get. Fucking Marks, but
saying it's off the Clemente wall in right field in Pittsburgh.
Oh shit. Okay.
It's a drop. Yeah, it's
That's not a small wall. Like, that's
no, scary. But like, he like launched himself up. It was weird.
That is weird. Sounds like a bad dare or something. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Bad day again.
What did you think of tonight's show overall? How are we feeling about it?
Unlike you and this podcast, AEW's on a heater.
Hey, what the hell, man? I missed like 1 week in like 6 weeks. That's pretty damn good for me. You missed more than me in that time period.
First of all, hi, Kylie. Sorry, I didn't say hi. I got caught up in my Pittsburgh story. Second of all, are we really going to do the amount of time here versus not here comparison?
Absolutely not. But I'm just saying of recent,
who was here last week?
You had the nerve to celebrate your birthday and also attend a work thing where I was like, it's about drive. It's about power. We stay hungry. We devour. That's what was going on.
And last week?
You can't take a 1 week sample of somebody who you would not have wanted on screen because I was fucking insane after WrestleMania week.
Actually, maybe I would have shell then. Of,
honestly, we probably should have done it. I probably would have gone viral just for being... it was like, I assume, what being on acid feels like. I can only assume.
I wouldn't know what that feels like.
I was so detached from reality. My only reference for acid other than like cartoonish portrayals and movies is, do you remember the drinking out of cups video that went viral on YouTube like years ago where it's the little lizard, the animated lizard drinking out of cups?
No, I really don't.
Oh my goodness. It was like in the early stages of like cat plays piano, YouTube going viral stuff. It was just a guy who was just observing things in his room while tripping. And they did just like, there's this little animated lizard behind the voice, but not my chair, not my problem. That's what I say for anybody who knows that reference. But we got some stuff to chat about on the AEW front, Ryan, outside of tonight's Dynamite. We have some news and we have some notes. And that's when I like to throw it to a segment called News and Notes. I wish we had music.
Why do we go to that music?
I don't know. Fresh on the mind.
Come on down.
So, some exciting information, I think. Tekla, who recently finished up her Stardom run after being there for over 3 years, it sounds like is going to AEW. There was interest all over for her in Japan, in the US. I feel like from the limited I've seen, Joshi is not my beat. Bye, Kylie. Thank you for stopping in. From the little I've seen, it feels like AEW is like a great environment for her. I love her entire vibe, and watching some of her matches, I think from what I've seen, she's fantastic. And I feel like somewhere that is wrestling focused and character focused without being like NXT over the top gimmicky focused, though a much better product than it was even 6 months ago, admittedly. Like, it's just like we've talked about this before, like Jade and WWE feels like the right pairing. Tekla and AEW to me gives me that same like right wrestler, right environment from what I've seen. Now, there's this conversation that I keep in mind when I see and hear things that happened on MXM's stream about, it was Manny and Mason, and I don't know if Shane was there, but Dijak was there, and they were talking about Aura and how like people will see a picture of a guy standing with a belt with fireworks in back of them and be like, that guy has such aura. And it's like, no, there's just really cool production behind him and he has a belt. Like, that doesn't necessarily make aura. I would say before the Death Riders, like Jon Moxley was a guy who had an aura about himself. Tekla is like synonymous with aura from what I've seen in the ring, in photos. Like, she's incredible. She's incredible. So I very much look forward to seeing what she does in AEW. Have you seen any of her work or just like familiar with the name kind of just bouncing around?
So a couple things here. First of all, I want to point out that my only point of reference for acid is the movie SLC Punk, starring Matthew Lillard. That's literally the only point of reference I have.
Well played.
Second, I noticed that you have basically accused the Death Riders of killing Aura, so that's good to know.
They absolutely have.
Yes. And I honestly know nothing about her. I'm going off the opinions of people I trust, so not you.
Well, they better do a fucking vignette or the company's going down.
They're going down.
They're yelling timber.
No, I mean, but I always take note that if someone leaving Japan is notable enough to have multiple stories dedicated to them, there must be something there.
So I think she has, I know she has history with Mina because someone told me. I think she also had a match with Mercedes, I want to say, and a couple other people in AEW. So that's always fun too, because there's just like incoming familiarity and backstory that they have. But she looks like a badass from what I know. So I am very excited about that. And plus, we had some encouraging news today too. Sky Blue was at the backstage taping of Dynamite in Norfolk today. She'd been backstage at a couple of tapings of late, as far back as their Cincinnati taping, which was quite a bit ago. And sometimes people are backstage. She's dating Kyle Fletcher. He had a very big match tonight. But when somebody's continually backstage, I feel like that's often a better sign. It kind of sounds like they're traveling with them again a little bit. But it's not confirmed that she's returning to the ring or anything like that. But the May 14th edition of AEW Dynamite on my birthday is Collision Beach Break in Chicago, which is her hometown. So if she was ready to come back, that would obviously be a great place to do it. That's not so far off in the distant future. Sky Blue was like so rapidly improving. So rapidly improving before she got injured. So hope to have her back. Any thoughts on Miss Sky Blue?
I mean, it's a happy news. Like, we have some blue skies ahead of us. That's right. I went there.
I see what you sorry. Did
yeah, but did. Also. Sorry, hold on. That didn't mean to show it. Didn't understand what that was. So anyway, yeah, she was killing it right before she got her. Her and
Jules.
Julia were just awesome, which made me want women's tag titles. I'm very excited. I'm curious to see how they bring her back, because you have the problem of, well, though Julia's kind of a face now.
She is. She kind of is, yeah.
So you can kind of bring her back as part of Julia, which I think I would do, because I was liking the direction they were taking. Sky Blue was giving her an edge that I think she needed. But listen, this women's division is killing it, and it continues to kill it. If they're getting this Tekla woman that we just talked about, mm-hmm. and I don't that from if she is what you're,
but you know Mina, you know what I mean, like Mina's yeah. coming in, so it continues to thrive, which is. Excellent yeah. news.
So I'm excited. And the thing about the division is it could always use more mid-level players. And I'm glad to see, and I'm not to say that that's Sky Blue ceiling, by no means. She could have a much higher ceiling than that. But for right now, she would slot in perfectly there.
Yes. I think there's a good problem, and that for years this division didn't have the depth roster wise, and now it doesn't have the screen time wise that it needs in kind of a healthy way, because they keep rewarding that. Like, we aren't consistently getting two matches a show, but like, we're getting a lot more women's main events. The matches we do have are getting time. Like, they're making a lot of room for it on Collision. Like, there's been some Collision episodes with three matches, so they're aware of that. There's also still like Tay Mello in the wings. Ruby Soho is a mom, so we'll see like if and when she decides to come back. But like, there's a lot of possibilities. I just wish they would make ROH a thing again, so there was more room for people.
Well, that's across the board.
Yeah, I yes, men's side, tag side, all of it. I will say too, and I don't mean any disrespect to Indy Hartwell when I say this, Tony Khan has also gotten better about picking the right wrestlers with the ring maturity and the presentation connection that will work well with the AEW crowd instead of just signing everybody who got released from NXT. Like, there was a while where we did that way too much, right? So I really think that, like, I brought up Indy Hartwell just because she signed with TNA, and I feel like that's an awesome fit. Oh, that's a great place for her. But she's not, she's someone that when I was watching NXT, you could just tell she was just someone who, to me, Anna Jay has the same thing where they do better when there's consistent on-screen reps. And I think she's going to grow into an even bigger force than she is, but I don't think she makes sense for AEW right now. And I would understand the temptation to sign her because her personality is so great. She is a well enough known name. Like, she made a name for herself. But they're getting a little more selective about not just the amount of people they're bringing in, but the right ones. You look at what they've done with Kevin Knight, Speedball, and Josh Alexander already. Like, those are people that make sense for the AEW ecosystem. So I am glad about that. 2LT Photo asked what my shirt says. It's the Fight Like an 8-Year-Old Girl shirt that FTR had. The proceeds go to which? It's a heart research foundation because Dax's daughter, Finley, had a heart condition. And I like to wear this shirt when my lungs are acting up from COVID. So reminds me to fight like an 8-year-old girl sometimes.
I tried it once. It's actually like,
it's like, I like this font a lot. I think they call it like the varsity font, just like the serif thick. It feels very old school 80s wrestling, I think, because the was it the Dusty Sucks Egg shirt, I think, was this font. 2LT Photos wearing a Mark Order shirt. Well, thank you for that. It's right to the, thank you, Ophelia. It's to the American Heart Association. So.
Nah, kind of. Dusty Sucks Eggs is similar, yes. So I think so.
Is it? There's a couple of those old school shirts that have like this kind of font.
But see, your discussion of the font makes me think of the SNL episode with Ryan Gosling and Papaya.
Oh, my God. Or
Papyrus, whatever it was. Papyrus. Was it Papyrus? And I'm like, that's what I'm thinking of now.
That is one of the most underrated sketches in the history of the whole wide world.
It is a sketch.
It's so good. It's so good. Well, not a ton more to talk about outside of that. We've got Double or Nothing in a month, which is exciting. And then we have All In is the next big show after that. And I think we're starting to see the way that the card may shape up going into that. So I'm excited to dig into things because this episode of Dynamite gave us some clarity in those directions. But we're going to talk about it shortly. We're going to talk about it after this commercial break, which I don't have access to, but Ryan does.
Yes, see, what Ryan does is he puts on the commercial overlay like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then he scrolls down. He turns back up the volume that he muted earlier, and he goes to commercial block, and he hits play.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. It doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jax. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rowe.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rowe. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about.
Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster.
I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rope podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast for two men. Two men, Duke Banks, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right? And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Banks? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rowe podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing.
You got a slight one in there?
If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about a slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, we are back to talk with you about some AEW Dynamite tonight. Please do leave a thumbs up on this video. We do very, very much appreciate it. It helps us out quite a bit. But let's dive in. Ryan, overall thoughts on tonight's episode? We kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. I just need them to not have Tony Schiavone on the desk anymore. That is like my weekly complaint. I'll stop bringing it up because I mentioned it every week, but like the amount of just like what a moment stuff and the
he's such a soundboard.
And SP3 raised this point too, that like throughout Tony Schiavone's career, he's not a three-man desk guy. He's serviceable enough as a two-man desk guy, but he's not a three-man desk guy. Never has been. I think he's fantastic on in-ring interviews and sit-downs and things like that. He's one of the best. But he sucks. Like, he sucks on... he's not good at this one particular thing. He does, like, 47 things. He's much better at the other 46 of them. I was spoiled last week because there was Ian Riccaboni. And we also get Ian Riccaboni later saying, if any bitch has the itch, in a narration, which is just unfair that you would put it out there like that and not have him around for the episode. But that was my only complaint. Like, they've done such a good job since they've got this. You can tell, like, some of the cash infusion they got from the new deal with Warner has gone into production. The vignette that we got for Yamashita, I thought was really good. They've done a really good job rounding out. What I've said is, like, I feel like their cross-section of success is book for the hardcores, contextualize for the casuals, because the casuals will catch on. They're drawn in by Will Ospreay doing insane shit and Tony Storm being an insane person, like all of those kinds of things. So catch them up to speed, but book for your hardcores because that's kind of their secret success. So that's kind of my only overall complaint with things. Where are you at tonight?
So yes, the episode was awesome. I agree with you on Schiavone. He used to not be this way, so I'm not like, he had his moments. Every announcer has their,
sure,
you know, their moments where they like to, like I said, give the soundboard response because that's what they like for the clips that get remembered. But he used to be just a normal commentator. Even in AEW, he was more normal than this. I don't know what changed. Something just like flipped where that's where he's become.
He sounds like Paul Schaefer now. He sounds like a late night band yes man is what he sounds like to me. But I'm glad you had fun with this episode overall. I did too. This four match formula is very, very fun. Is very, very fun. But I kind of want to switch it up tonight. I kind of want to start at the end and then weave our way back and forth a little bit, because I want to start off talking about Hangman and Fletcher, because the match was unbelievable. And I want to talk about the implications of what we're getting with a Will Ospreay Hangman Page finals, because to me, Ospreay is the call going into Forbidden Door with him as champion. I also think it's time to get away from repeat champions. You have Moxley, who's a four-time champion. On the women's side, you have Toni Storm, who's a four-time champion. Let's get some fresh names in the mix. And Will Ospreay is so inevitable. It's like, let's just do it. But the way things are with Hangman and how over he continually is, I wouldn't blame them for going that direction. But this match with Kyle Fletcher was unreal. The storytelling and the finish alone, Hangman's face into that fine... was it the buckshot lariat? It was, right? To end that? Unreal. Johnny the Deadeye that came earlier, the brainbuster that came earlier. Like, Kyle Fletcher, I think because he worked in Japan, knows how to work a guy that hits like Hangman does. And this was fantastic. I had so much fun. I say it over and over again. I hate feeling like a broken record, but for 26 years old with Kyle Fletcher, his instincts for match pacing are fucking crazy good. Like, there are so many guys when you are the type of wrestler he is, that are tempted to go a million miles an hour, or if they're leaning into being a strong boy, they slow way down. He just, like, very fluidly can crank it up or properly pace things so that he and his opponent don't get gassed out. And at 26 years old to have mastered that, which is like a sneaky, tricky concept in wrestling, it blows my mind how good he is at that specific aspect of things. But this rules. This was a fantastic semifinals. I think this Owen Hart, from beginning to end for both men and women, have been the most... quote unquote, where the best wrestled that they've had. This has been really, really great stuff. What did you think of what we got in our main event from a match perspective? And what are you thinking about the finals here?
So yeah, the first thing I want to say is that Deadeye on the ring apron, you know, because that's just the hardest part of the mat. That was
the hardest just part of the excellent. Ring. You're right. I'm so glad you pointed that out, because it's a little known fact, Ryan.
I appreciate Callis on commentary was fun, because when Hangman was hitting the buckshot, the no is just a fun little, like, just add something. I don't know why it works for me. I thought Hangman was going to win, but I realistically could have seen this going either way. That's where they're at, and setting up Ospreay versus Fletcher for the win of the Owen. But I didn't think, the only thing that made me hesitant there is, and clearly they weren't ready to go back to that well yet. What was on the LED board that cut up Kyle's back so bad?
I don't know. I don't know if the LED board just fractured and dug into his back, but his back was jacked. His proto back for the proto star was, I mean, it, that's why I think it might have just been the board itself, like that it broke and cut into his back, because it's just like a deep line between Tommaso Ciampa gashing his chin and this. I was like, oh damn, like this is rough. But yeah, there were some spots in this, and I agree with you about Callis, because he said something that I thought was so subtle but great. He said, this is all about the Owen. Putting Will Ospreay into the ground for the last time is just like an added benefit. And I love that he said that, because it was such a good reminder of, like, he wants to win the Owen and get a title shot, right? Like, this isn't just about getting back to Will Ospreay. And I loved that, as like the manager of that group, it's his job to keep his client's eyes on the prize. And this was his way of letting us know that he does that for him, right? Like, there were some really good things that Callis did on commentary tonight. I didn't see anybody dressed like him, which is upsetting.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish we had, I kind of want there to be a bunch of doppelgangers and all to be sitting behind him when he does commentary. But the Owen, like you said, the way they did this Owen was perfect. It is definitely the most talent they've had in Owen, I feel like. I mean, each Owen's had really good, but they put all their stars in this. So it's made it really feel important, and I do love that it's for, I know they started this last year, but still with going for the title is huge because it makes it matter. The only thing I'm hesitant because clearly it's not set in stone in terms of, I don't write the show, so I don't know the answer, but if Hangman loses to Ospreay, I don't know what the next steps are for him. Like,
I feel like Swerve picking him back up. Because if you look across the aisle on the tag side, I think they're really trying to put some emphasis on this tag division, because I do think we're getting an FTR versus Cope and Christian run, which I think is good. And I just feel like there's this unclosed loop between Swerve and the Hurt Syndicate, and the fact that the Hurt Syndicate have the titles and it feels like their reign is going to be substantive for a little bit longer. Like, Hangman and Swerve on the same side of things, dethroning the Hurt Syndicate at all in, like, the moment that would be, because those outside of Ospreay, like, it's so funny because there was a while where it felt like everybody was heels, and then there was a while where it felt like everybody was faces, and now it feels like we have a stronger mix. But you have a heel champion who nobody's interested in, but the AEW world title is on him. On the face side, you have Swerve, Hangman, who's kind of has no right being one, but is one because the crowd loves him. And he's on a redemption arc, so they see the redemption part coming. You have Will Ospreay, who everybody loves just because he loves wrestling. Like, that, I honestly feel like the crowd is so enamored with him. He said it himself that he's a wrestling slut. And you have Kenny Omega, who just came back. So you kind of have four guys that are not champions. That I feel like one of those guys has to be champion. But if you want to get back to making tag team wrestling a hallmark in AEW again, the idea of Hangman and Swerve pairing up to be tag champions, when Swerve was such a good tag wrestler with Keith Lee in that run, I think is an awesome direction to go if they choose to go. Now, Hangman winning the title and Swerve looking out for him might also get real interesting. Swerve facing him might get really interesting. Like, their relationship is so complex that it's like, you kind of can't go wrong in the finals. You kind of can't go wrong. But like, the Bucks coming back, it feels like we're getting a Swerve and Hangman program there. So that's my only thing, is like, you've kind of already set that up, so I'm assuming that they're headed down a tag route, but you could go either way. I just feel like, why are you not capitalizing on what Will Ospreay is right now, which is the best wrestler in the world and one of the most over baby faces in the company, going into Forbidden Door with the title on and beating Mox in a matchup that we haven't seen before? That's my thing about it. That's my thing.
He is by far the most naturally over, I think, at the moment.
I said Hangman's to someone close, in AEW, but that, like, I think the thing is, the AEW fan base loves wrestling, and they love when wrestlers love wrestling. And to me, it feels like nobody in the world loves wrestling more than Will Ospreay. It feels like he's an 8-year-old that is wrestling in the backyard all the time. He wrestles on go home shows. He wrestles the week after a pay-per-view. He wrestles insane matches on a week-to-week basis. He wrestles match of the year candidates half the time on TV, pretty much always at a pay-per-view. So I think that's why he's so connected with this fan base. But are you into the idea of a Hangman and Swerve tag team, or are you like, are they too obsessed with each other for you?
I'm into it, but you have to get there properly, I guess, is the way I want. Like, it can't feel forced. There has to be a natural, in two ways. Like, one, I don't want it to be like the old WWE go to of can they coexist. I don't want that. Like, I don't want like
the God re- no.
I want it to be that moment where I'm not booking that far ahead in my brain, but something has to happen where they both finally understand each other. Like,
they almost can't do can they coexist, because it's like before they would even enter a ring together, they have to have hashed that shit out. Arson was committed. You know what I mean? This isn't like you interfered in my match. Like, one guy broke into one guy's home and the other guy burned down his childhood home. Like, you can't be cute about it. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, like I'm not going to criticize. Obviously, I love the way they booked Hangman and Swerve. So this isn't a criticism. The tough part is, because in my head, for another feud of similar things, but taking out the arson and the breaking into a home, as you would love me to say, because you love how I say home, but taking those out, the way you would do this is you would have someone cross the line on one of the two of them and the other step in being like, you've crossed the line. The problem is, in their feud, they've crossed the line. So I don't know how you do it.
I think that's where the Young Bucks being what they are and working how they work actually is kind of interesting. Because the fact that they're comedic but can pull the EVP cards and they came back as that version, having that them to be the guys to get them on the same side, I think could work. But you're right. This has to be planned out extremely carefully. Extremely carefully. But let's move on. Thanks for hanging out with us in the chat over there. We see you, Big G. We see you. We see you all, especially you, Jesse Ozog. Let's talk about, what should we talk about now? Let's take it back to just the very beginning of the show. We'll bookend the shit, okay? This match was fun as hell. And everybody got to look great in it. The Young Bucks and Okada defeating Ricochet, Kenny Omega. The Young Bucks, Okada, and Ricochet beating Kenny Omega, Speedball, Kevin Knight, and Mark Briscoe there to take the pin. Man, there was some really, really silly fun stuff, and there was some really, really, really good fun stuff. I loved, there was just this small spot where Speedball went to kick Nick Jackson, and he leaned out of the way, and Matt kind of came in and assisted to let Nick Jackson get his super kick in. And they were just like, Nick Jackson's the finesse that he puts on spots like that is so sounds corny to say with professional wrestling, but it's so professional. Like, there's something that is so fine-tuned about the way that he moves in the ring. And there's something that is so specific to Nick Jackson about the way he moves in the ring. I miss watching Nick Jackson work. Like, I love Matt Jackson too. I love the way he sells. I love his finding of the hard cam, and he's quite good. But from like the work rate perspective, Nick Jackson is just absolutely insane. So it was nice to see him in the ring again. You got a nice exchange between Okada and Kenny just for storytelling purposes. And then Okada pins Briscoe in this. This was a very quick half hour. Like, this was a long match, but it did not feel match long. This is like the AEW in its groove. You look up at the clock and you're like, holy shit, we blinked and a half hour's over. Sometimes that's the full 2 hours. You can't believe it went by that quick. This was fun as hell, though. I had a blast watching this. They've done such a good job of, when they have people coming in now, making sure that they're on TV consistently, making sure that they're mixed up and with important names if they're not in a full-on story right away. And I really think, like, the way that they've showcased Kevin Knight and Mike Bailey so far has been really, really good. And they would be guilty so much of, like, bringing a hot new thing and then shelf them, or let them fall down to programs that weren't of importance or being taken care of in certain ways. They've really course corrected that. They did it with the Hobbs return, not even just incoming free agents, but people coming back from injury now. So I'm loving the intentionality that we're getting. And I think, I'm just going to say it, Ryan, I think that has to do with Tony Khan being in the weeds.
Be trimming the weeds.
Feels very careful. That yes. feels like the guy who's in charge of everything is noticing that, as opposed to the people who are working on individual storylines. Because the guy in charge of it all is the one that should notice the people slipping through the cracks, right? But I fucking loved this opener. I had a blast with it. What did you think?
So, a couple things here. You referenced the professionalism of professional wrestling, and it made, and this is all topic, so I won't make us go far long on this at all, but just made me think of the Hogan Bischoff announcement from today, where they're making an amateur pro wrestling, a pro amateur wrestling thing. And that just cracked me up.
I cannot think of something I would want to watch. And God bless Eric Bischoff, but like, I can't think of something I would care about watching any less than that. I'm already tapped out. I watch too much wrestling as is.
Well, see, the thing is,
time for stuff I want to keep up with. I am not watching that shit.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's small, obviously, but there is a segment of people who would enjoy it because it's amateur wrestling. They're just getting paid for it, and it's like there's a lot of former amateur wrestlers and kid, like my nephews wrestle. They love it. Who would love watching it? But I don't understand why they're doing drama stuff around that. Like, just pay amateur wrestlers. Yeah.
They're doing that because it's Eric Bischoff.
So that made me laugh when you said professional wrestling, because their big announcement was a professional amateur wrestling league. The second thing is Kevin Knight's dropkick. I have to question if he has like flubber on his shoes.
Insanity. What I love is he's not a one trick pony. It's not like that's the only thing he can do. It reminds me very much of like Montez Ford has an insane frog splash, but he has a bunch of other insane shit that he can do too. But yeah, that drop kick, man, is nuts.
I mean, he goes above the rope tonight. It's incredible. These matches are always a bit of a clusterfuck to me. So in a good way. I mean, you can have good and bad clusterfucks.
There was some silly shit in here, but it was just fun. On the fun scale, I should ask, how dare I not inquire as to where this was on your fun
why
scale?
Why does it exist if we don't use it?
I mean, truly. A level 4 fun.
The match like this. Scott did point out that Briscoe taking the pin after he had just beat Ricochet. I think that was on purpose. I think the whole point is they're trying to do a Ricochet-Briscoe feud. Because they pointed it out afterwards. It
feels like it's headed towards something like that, yeah.
Because they said after the match, and they're like, "Oh, Ricochet getting a measure of revenge for his loss." It's like, yeah, you're feuding that, but instead of doing, you know, 30 rematches with each guy trading a pin, you have one in a single. You do a multi, and then you can go back to something else. Like, it's a nice way to do it if that's where they're going. My only hope for Kevin Knight, I love Kevin Knight. It's not an, is he, they are booking him very, very well right now, but he's absolutely in. I hope he doesn't fall to the wayside when they don't need him in this form of the story.
I hope that where he goes is around the TBS title. Because I think that could be a really great defense for Adam Cole and something that you don't lose anything from by being Kevin Knight losing to Adam Cole. I think that would be a good spot for him to go next. I'm just glad like there's some consistent screen time. I also am like, are they going to do a Speedball Kevin Knight tag team? Because they've been on the same side with each other for a few of these now. And I don't hate that idea at all because of the interesting dynamic that could present. So We'll see. We'll see where it goes. The TNT title. I do that all the fucking time. All the fucking time.
Yeah, I mean, you do. But we will see. It's if they're really trying to rebuild the tag division, as they seem to be doing, there does appear to be a Speedball and Kevin Knight would be a fun short-term team to have that in that division.
I also just legitimately don't know, like, if Kevin Knight's going away to do the G1, he's not going to be in a long-term story. Like, I don't know, because he has a hybrid contract with New Japan or Battle of the Super Juniors. Like, I don't even know where he would be fighting. Was he named in the Battle of the Super Junior?
You're asking the wrong guy.
They just released the bracket. I'm so behind on New Japan. Battle. I'm going to look that up. Super Juniors. This is... gonna find that out right now. 32 entrants were revealed, Ryan. We went to not Battle of the Super Juniors, but they did that like Super Junior All-Star thing in Philly, and that was fun as hell. Kevin Knight is in it. So there you go. So he won't be in a program for a little bit, probably nothing long term until that's done. Cause that kicks off on May 9th. So that's coming right up. So this is great. Put him in these things. Let the AEW audience get used to him. Let him go do Battle of Super Juniors. I don't think he's favorited to win, but he'll show out. They could probably set up stuff for Forbidden Door with him there, you know? So this is good. This is like a very healthy thing in pro wrestling. So I'm excited for that. Kevin Knight's in the same block as Nick Wayne. Hell yeah. That is interesting. That's very interesting to me.
And little known fact, Wayne Knight was on Seinfeld.
There you go.
It is a known fact. He was Newman.
A known fact, for sure.
I'm going to slap the silly snot out of you.
Grab a sip of water real quick.
I'm going to slap the silly snot out of you.
No, you won't. That's assault, brother.
Backhand the crap out of you.
I'll kick you in the bowels. And I'll do it on Saturday at AEW Collision. We are going to AEW Collision if anybody wants to say hi, by the way, in Atlantic City.
You want to give me Ryan money to gamble, I'll lose it for you.
Well, there you go. I covered my part of the hotel room last time we were there on the slot machines, and then I got out. Remember?
Oh, yeah, you actually did very well. Actually, I made money, too. You just made more.
Yeah, I remember, like, I covered my hotel room and everybody was like, stop. And I was like, well, I'm going to keep going until I have, like, I only do penny slots, by the way. Like, that's it. But I was like, until I have, like, two or three that don't turn something up, I'm going to keep going. And I made, like, $100. And I think my share of the hotel room that night was, like, $85 or something. So, hell yeah, that was fun. But Ryan and I are, Ryan has to pick up his check at the strip club. So that's the big thing. And
I make so much that I need to get a check.
It's true. Yeah, you gotta, there's a whole thing with the direct deposit. So you can't go in there. But
I get a fee of the door because, again, I am that popular.
Jeez, I didn't know you got a door split. Good on you. Good yeah, on sure. you. I'm very excited. AC is a fun time. AC is a fun time. Hey, let's talk about not a match. I guess Renee Paquette is just like getting a little bit of a breather because there's way less backstage segments of late. She's incredible. We're going to talk about her in a minute, but we get an in-ring promo here with the Hurt Syndicate. I really liked what the gentle swerve that they set up with this, because backstage you have MVP saying to everybody, like, look, he can help us out. I've never steered you wrong. And if he doesn't, what do we do, man? We hurt people. Like, we'll hurt MJF more than we've hurt anybody. There is also a situation where four independent wrestlers masked as backstage security or whatever, are doing that, and MVP's like, oh, you think it's fun? You think it's fun to sing? Oh, it's more fun to actually hurt people, and they just get launched. I thought that was cute. But then later in the ring, when it's all thumbs up ski time, we have two yeses, and then a very fun, extremely dramatic no. But the sideways thumb that Bobby Lashley held for like 10 minutes had the crowd like, not since Orange Cassidy have we seen so much emotional tension over a thumbs up situation. I thought this ruled. This was so fun. Bobby Lashley was like smirking at points too. You could see him trying not to crack. But MJF continuing to call him Bob, I thought was so much fun. Him sucking up, like just so blatantly trying to gas them up, I thought was so, so funny. And MJF finally kind of snaps and was like, what do you want? I brought you women. I brought you cars. I brought you money. I helped you win a match, which he did at Dynasty. Like I thought that was really well done on his part. And Bobby Lashley, I love that this detail of it saying, we hurt people. I need you to go hurt someone, not beat them, not chicken shit your way around. Like I interpreted it this way. Not chicken shit your way around them. We hurt people. Like we are ruthless in the way we go about business. MJF is a clever cheater in the way he goes about business. That is at odds with how they operate. And I just thought that was really, really, really well written. Really, really, really well done. So I thought this was good. I'm glad we're getting to where it's going because this has been appropriately paced. If it went on longer than this, I feel like it would have been, you know, with the tension of the thumbs ups and thumbs downs. I think this has been appropriately paced, and I'm glad to see that they're now moving to the next development in all of this. What did you think?
I think we hurt people. So I have a couple comments. One, the fan security independent wrestlers in the back, they get beat up, right? But one of them isn't beat up right away. And instead of running for his life, he just kind of turns to Bobby and goes, don't hurt me. It's like, run, you fool, run. Like, why are you staying?
Just run, you fool, run.
That bothered me. I did appreciate the slow one. You knew he was gonna say no, but it was okay. I don't want to say it. There was part of me that thought, man, is he really gonna say yes? Are they gonna play this out? I'm glad he said no. Like, it makes it different than the, like that, like, oh, now MJF's just gonna hang around. Like, no, you.
Well, and I like that it keeps a little tension between MVP and Bobby Lashley alive, because MVP's been pushing for this from the beginning. I think that's good.
I also think MJF did hurt Bob. Hurt him where it hurts, right in the heart.
It's true.
He got offended when MJF insulted him, and that hurt him right here. I will say MJF managed to look both scared and pissed off at the same time, and I really appreciated that look.
There's something really cool with MJF where sometimes he's so cartoonishly an 80s heel that everything's really big, and then when he does lock in, it's real. Like when he starts to give you authentic reactions, it clicks in really well. Some good stuff there tonight, guys. We're talking AE Dub Dine. That's what we call it around these parts, the Dub Dine. I'm calling it that from now on. It's a new
I'm thing. I'm not, so you can go with that if you want.
It's AEW Dine.
And why?
AEW Dynamite. Get on board or get left behind.
You know, I'm gonna have to return this meal.
You hurt people, Ryan. Emotionally.
Hurt people hurt people.
It's true. It's true. Let's flip over to some women's wrestling because we got some good stuff tonight. We get Renee interviewing Mercedes Moné, who really plays up her match with Jamie Hayter well. Points out that she looks like Daphne from Scooby-Doo. She says it in a condescending way, which makes no sense because Daphne from Scooby-Doo is a babe, as we all know. But we have Toni Storm against Yamashita. They did a really great job talking about Yamashita's history, her previous appearance in ROH, and Toni Storm being now 10-0 in eliminator matches, that she hasn't lost one. And I appreciated that they put the creative effort into that, so it didn't feel like this was coming out of nowhere. Yamashita also had a great match against Natty Hart at Bloodsport. That was a lot of fun to watch. So I'd encourage you to check that out, Bloodsport's thing. But this match was a lot of fun. And then after, Mercedes hops up on stage and she confronts Toni Storm about wanting to add another belt to the belt collection here after she beats Jamie Hayter. But Jamie Hayter's music hits and she attacks Mercedes from behind, but Mercedes kind of dodges it and bolts off. I thought this was simple and effective. I felt like it did a good job of kind of telling us without telling us that we're probably getting Toni versus Mercedes. This is the second or third segment they've had with this. But Hayter showing up and looking intimidating, I think, was important so that it wasn't A, so telegraphed, and B, leaving Jamie Hayter not looking important. I'm very excited for that finals, partly because I feel like Chris and Jamie kind of work a little bit similarly, and the matches between Chris and Mercedes were so unbelievable that I'm very much looking forward to what we get here. But this has been good, and it's also the most important Jamie Hayter's kind of felt since she's been back, so I'm very much looking forward to that. What did you think of our women's wrestling and segments that were on the show tonight?
The wrestling was good. I liked the match. I do like that they introduced her Toni Storm's opponent. I apologize. I have read the name three times and I'm blanking on it still.
Miyu Yamashita. It's also hard because they don't look like they're pronounced all the time. So
Okay. Yeah. So I like that they introduced Miyu and gave history. I don't need large vignettes or anything, but just a little background as to like why she matters. Did we see her wrestle in person? Probably not. Or was she just on with something? She might. No, you know what? She was on the thing we live. You did a watch along with. That's
yes, where she was. She was on a New Japan Strong card that we did a watch along for. I was going to say Okay. Live. We saw Momo versus Mercedes. And I don't think we saw Yamashita in AEW at all. But she was on a watch along. We did.
Yeah. It was a fun match, back and forth match. The highlight was when they went to picture in picture and Luther was in the outside rubbing his butt. That was probably the highlight for me.
So he's does an unbelievable job of, we talked about this before too, like adding to the act without pulling focus. He's exactly. Great at it.
When he is, he's like a great character actor on a show that you don't think about them until they give them their moment to shine and they nail it and then they're gone again.
Yeah.
I am excited for Mercedes versus Jamie Hayter. I did laugh. The funniest part was like, okay, so she says she's Daphne from Scooby-Doo. Meanwhile, Mercedes, she's just decked out in this. I mean, it's a great outfit, but like she's decked down in an outfit. Like she's not wearing street clothes. Like
certainly.
So it's just kind of funny. But that's gonna be a hell of a match.
Yes. I'm looking forward to what I'm assuming is both of them. I think Toni and Mercedes, I don't think they ever faced each other in WWE. I think they were ships in the night on that. And I think Jamie versus Mercedes is gonna be the best we've gotten to see Jamie Hayter look in a really long time, maybe ever in AEW. Very much looking forward to that. I'm also so curious because, like, I don't know if there's anybody in the most recent releases that they would sign. I know I'm like comically a Duke Hudson stand or Duke Hansen now. I think he's great because you can put him.
You're a stand?
He's 6 foot. I'm a stand.
It's like,
in the place where you are.
Yeah, it's not a stand, a stand.
A stand. Listen,
yeah, but you said stand. And since you make fun of my accent, I'm taking what wins I can get.
All right, I'll take it. But he's 6'5". He's great in the ring. He's a supernatural talker. He's extremely charismatic. He has amazing comedic timing. Like, you can put him into anything. So I think he's a valuable guy to have around. And he would be great in a stable, heavy environment. Like, he's just a guy that can assimilate there. The other ones, you know, I don't know if Bea Priestley comes back. And that could be an interesting place for Jamie Hayter to go. They're at the point where tag titles would make a lot of sense. They've been at that point before, but this is the most sustainable that they've been at that point, I feel like, in a long time.
I feel like you've had a year of fairly decent women booking. Not always perfect, but fairly decent and solid for the last however many months.
Yeah, I feel like it dipped when the men's dipped too. Like, that wasn't lack of care around the women's division. That was just the whole product fell off a cliff at the same time, right? So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued if they pick up anybody from that last round of cuts, but we'll see. We will see. Let's keep moving along here. Let's talk about this Stokely and FTR alignment. I really like this, and I wasn't on the show last week, so I didn't get to talk about it. Stokely is really fucking funny. If you've watched my reviews of him extensively on NXT in NXT's worst time, you know that I've sung his praises as a manager on screen for a long time, because he was always able to balance comedy with also making the stable he represented feel important. Like, there was never a time where the comedy, in my estimation, overshadowed what he was there to do, which was politicking for the acts that he was with. Underrated as a sincere promo. And I think with FTR, we're getting to see a little bit more of what he's capable of on that front, where I think he'll still have some really funny lines and stuff. And I think he'll be able to show what he can do comedically. But, like, I like that we're digging in to this as an act. And I like that they explained where he's been, right? They said he spent 2024 searching for the right tag team. FTR wasn't a trio, so they weren't a tag team for the time that he was out. And now they're going to work their way back to the World Tag Team Championships to solidify their legacy. And he kind of talks up their resume. And it feels like a really appropriate fit to me. Some people are not sold on it because I think they think of Stokely and they think of Baby Uppy, the Chris Statlander, and Batty Search, and all these things. But he's a really good, sincere promo, and I'm excited that we're getting to see this side of what he can do. And there's something just really old school about pairing him with FTR. I'm pumped for that. What did you think of this recap and the alignment kind of overall here?
I enjoyed the recap. I think they justified it from an in-universe way very well, which was, why would FTR want Stoke? Like, it didn't. And I caught my goddamn accent that time. Jesus
Christ. Stoke.
Fucking hell. So even FTR, why would FTR want Hathaway? See what I did there? And his explanation that, hey, their suspension expunged. They're fine, going to be refunded. They're like, that is,
yeah, that was cool.
That's a great in-universe way of saying, why would FTR want him? This is why, because he went in and made business things happen.
Business. I also like that FTR had enough unsuccessful attempts at the titles that it warranted a change from them, right? Like, it makes sense because they tried to climb back to that mountain and failed a few times. So I am a fan of all this. Greg, did you see Shane McMahon? Your goat was hanging out with Charlotte and A-Rod today at the Knicks game. Charlotte, I love it because Greg shared authentically like a Shane McMahon fan. And I don't know people. I know more people that are ironically a fan of his than are genuinely. And Greg is genuinely a huge Shane McMahon fan. Rocks.
Wait. Charlotte was with A-Rod?
Just at the Knicks game. They were like chatting after or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane McMahon was also there. So if we're being real, I would ship that. I don't know what the age gap is. It might be a little steep. A-Rod and Charlotte, I would ship it.
It can't be worse than Bill Belichick and his girlfriend.
Certainly not. Or Paul Heyman and his fiance, who's half his age, I think. So
yeah, they would act. A-Rod and Charlotte would be much. He's 49. You figure she's, I think, like our age. So yeah, that's at least.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
How old is Charlotte?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
She's 39. She's 39. Yeah, so... Damn. Okay. That's not bad. Would you ship them? I would ship them.
Yeah, I would. I think it'd be funny.
I'm there for it. I think it would be very funny to see what happens when you put people who both have the ego and the drive that it takes to be super athletes in the same house. I want to see it.
And just anytime A-Rod's in a relationship, it's funny.
He was such an Instagram boyfriend with J-Lo. It was very funny. It was
Yeah, he was.
Let's talk about Nick Wayne and Jay Lethal and Proud Papa Christian. I like the way that we're approaching this breakup. It took a minute for it to settle in, but I'm a fan. You had Renee interviewing Nick Wayne, Lethal showing up to challenge him for that ROH TV title, and Nick Wayne saying he's not trying to fight right now, but Christian just cuts in and accepts on his behalf. Nick Wayne successfully retains, and Christian goes and puts the title around his waist. I'm kind of digging this passive-aggressive breakup approach that we're getting. I think it's fun. What did you think of what we got here?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just going to give up on speaking.
That's not good for a podcast.
I know, but I couldn't get the word done. And after the accent thing about two words ago, it's just become a disaster for me. I love passive aggressiveness, so it was very funny to me.
I do too, and I feel like it's actually a really productive thing for Nick Wayne because it lets him call it out. Like, he can call out his bullshit. And I think that Nick Wayne is successful in angles like that so far. Like, he has the right attitude for something like that. So some good stuff. Hey, nobody in the world is cooler than Samoa Joe, so I don't know why anybody else would even try. This is the last thing that that we're going to talk about. So we'll remind you to leave a thumbs up on this video. We'll remind you to subscribe if you haven't already as we come down the home stretch of what was the second match on the show, but we went out of order today. This was a trio's defense of Samoa Joe, Shibata, and Hobbs, your trio's champions in the ops, against Miles Hawkins, Rhett Titus, and a returning Nick Comoroto, who had been pretty severely injured. So I'm glad he's back. He's in incredible shape. He looks ridiculous in a good way for him. So that rules. But this was the trio's champions beating jobbers to continue the angle between Samoa Joe and Mox. Mox and Claudio and Wheeler Yuta. They make their presence known, I'll say. But the ops are prepared for them. They've watched the show. They get it. And this leads to Claudio hitting a neutralizer on Shibata, who is thrown onto a chair. And Samoa Joe challenges John Moxley to a steel cage match. And my favorite part about all of this is John Moxley, like, runs away. And this is why Samoa Joe's so fucking good at this. Samoa Joe was like, you asked for a title match. And I've been trying to give it to you. And you keep running away like a little bitch. Like, Samoa Joe calling out the Death Riders on their bullshit. He's the perfect intermittent feud to whenever Moxley faces whoever he's going to face in the finals. And I love that Samoa Joe was like, you know what? I keep trying to fight you and you keep running away after you said you want a title shot. So now I think it should be in a steel cage so that you can't run away. He's just a badass. And I adore his approach of, I don't want to stand here and talk at you on the mic. I want to fucking fight you. Like, more of that always. So good. Just the most intimidating dude in the world. I love Samoa Joe. So some good stuff here. The match was what it was. But this, I think, normally I don't like it when there's like, you're a trios champ or a tag champ and you're going after a singles title. But because it's Samoa Joe, a former champion, and they won the trios titles from the other side. Like, John Moxley had stepped into the trios because Pac got hurt. So, like, I don't mind it here at all. I don't think Joe has a shot in hell at winning, but this has to be the feud that precedes the Owen finals, right? So I really like it. I really, really like what they built out. Ironically, the Death Rider stuff has gotten so much better. I just, way too little, way too late. Way too little, way too late. What did you think of this trios match that we got and the angle that followed?
So the trios match was like you said, was what it was. You know who wouldn't make fun of my accent? Camarado.
Camarado?
Because he has the same accent. So there you go. I do.
Maybe he likes self-deprecating humor. Maybe he would.
I don't know. No one likes you though, so it kind of like would work against it.
How dare you? Everybody loves me.
Dare you? But my thing is, they gave it was a squash, but it was a longer squash. I kind of appreciate it because you had Camarado, you had Rhett Titus, you had these guys that had a bit more. So like I like that they gave him a bit more time. I do appreciate the way the post-match went, that Samoa Joe is constantly getting one up on John Moxley, but it's because of others that Moxley is winning. And yeah, his promo where he basically says the truth. You keep acting like you're this tough guy, but you keep running away is very good. And this is it is the irony of all ironies. Now the Death Rider stuff is actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's a time to end it, but it is kind of fun now.
I agree. I think what's funny is they've said like this is their version of the Bloodline, right? But the best parts about it have been when Swerve was prepared for the numbers game with Willow and outfoxed him. Like, it's been all the stuff where their behavior has caught up to them that has made it much more interesting. So I am with you on that. Also, yeah, Samoa Joe calling them the D Riders the other week was pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
So
that was
he's the best. Fave. He's just the best. I really hope like when he hangs it up, which should be in 45 years from now still, but when he does, I hope he stays involved in the business. Like, the thing with him is he was a fantastic announcer in WWE. He could be a fantastic on-screen character. I think he's probably pretty invaluable behind the scenes as like a producer, coach, whatever. So I just hope he sticks around in some capacity, because I think he's just one of the most valuable people in this great sport. So, but that's it for today, Ryan.
That's about it. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think we got it all.
I think so too. That's what the rundown said. So I think we are good to go, but that means, Ryan, there's only one thing to do. Let's steal some money from the good people watching us, okay? Or at least try to sell them on it.
Try to steal their money, but no one gives me their social security number.
Please email markorderpod@gmail.com with your social security number, your license, your blood type. We're sick of trying, so just make it easy on us. But if you want to go the legal route, you can go to the Mark Order Podcast Pro Wrestling Tee Store and you can pick up a t-shirt. You can pick up 4 t-shirts. You can pick up 100 t-shirts. There's only 4 designs. If you see our beautiful backgrounds,
basically that's
what they are. You got our logos. You got single-sided. You got front and back. You got a pocket square situation. It's great. We love it.
So I got a pocket. Got a pocket full of sunshine.
You do have a pocket full of sunshine, Ryan. If people wanted to explore that pocket full of sunshine more, in a respectful, non-physical way.
Well, let's not cut up. You know.
Maybe. For starters, at least.
Yeah. For starters.
Where can people follow you, find you, find us?
I'm on all our socials at Mark Order Pod. And then you can go to my history blog here for history.com. I had one this past month about the Smoot-Hawley tariff bill, which is still somehow very relevant to our current day. And I have one already written for next month. There should be one a month now coming out. And then here for history.com or at underscore here for history or at here for history, whichever one you're trying. It's somewhere like that.
Alarming how much history is still relevant in a way that, not like history repeats itself, but like, have we made any progress?
People don't learn.
They don't. They really, really don't. So, but yeah, you can catch me at Miss Kate Fave on social media. Head over to my YouTube channel and subscribe there. I'm trying to avoid social media as much as possible these days, as it is mostly unproductive. But if you're normal and nice, feel free to say hi. But my YouTube channel is where I'll be doing a lot more of where I give my takes outside of the Fightful universe. So head on over there. You can catch me on Fightful as well. Mondays on Fightful Select doing Sour Graps with Alex Pawlowski. Tuesdays, Fridays on the main. It's so weird to take Thursdays out of that, but it's so nice to to have a day off. But NXT and SmackDown on the main as well. Wednesdays right here at the Mark Order Podcast. Coming at you live whenever I feel like stopping by.
That's what I thought.
More than Joe, okay, who's out there tearing up his skin.
Tearing up my heart.
And his heart when he's with you. When we are apart. Ryan, no matter what I do, I feel the pain, certainly with you. No doubt about that.
Then I'm going to end this, okay?
Okay, we'll be at Collision on Saturday, so if you're going to be there, stop by and say hi. But Ryan, take us home.
All right, so what I do is I put up the outro overlay this time, not the commercial one. Music's already up. I didn't have to lower it. And then I hit outro.